Eat to Become the Lamb's Wife by Apostle Jacqueline Fedor. Having left the Feast of Passover and the Feast of Pentecost behind, with 8 more feasts to go, let us talk a little bit of why it is imperative for man to not only celebrate God's feasts, but to experience them. Be thankful and rejoice in them. Not only milk or the elementary truths are served at these meals, but the meat of the Word, the deeper truths as well. Lamb, the Word of God, is served, and we are to eat all of it. I want to help those that have not been taught about the feast to better understand them, because in them many mysteries have been revealed. Knowledge served that will lead man back to eternal life and perfection once again. It is easy to understand why the feasts have been covered from view. If you were God's enemy, would you not do your level best to hide the meaning, shroud God's plan for our restoration, conceal from man the knowledge that contains information that will restore all creation? Would you not blot out their total existence, if possible? Of course you would. Unfortunately, he has been quite successful in his endeavors. Many of God's people do not know any more about the feasts, other than the Jews celebrate them. Even those that do not know about them do nothing more than celebrate the past experiences of their ancestors, recalling events that took place thousands of years ago. This is good, but we must go further. What about today? Is God so egotistical he commands us to remember miracles he performed years ago, things he did for his people in the past? No, they are to be remembered for our good. They are milestones to remind us he can and will do these things for his people again. He is the same God today as yesterday, and not a respecter of persons. All his children are important to him. But you see, humanity is like the prodigal son parable. We left the love of their father. Eden, the garden home he gave us, rebelled against his law, turned our back on his wisdom and knowledge, to rendezvous with the rebel of rebels, Satan himself. Man has embraced the enemy's world and helped him enlarge it to his specifications. Understand, Satan's goal is to be as God to all creation. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 14, shows us his decree and the basis of all his action. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This created angel honestly thinks he can be as great as the one that created him. Since God had given the planet and all on it to mankind, our rebellion granted Satan control of not only us, but all we had dominion over. He became the God of Adam's race and all life on this planet. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." It was all ours. We had it all. We let him win. All he had to do after this achievement was further alter humanity to suit him, so they would build lifestyles and societies that reflected him, not God. Their natures and characteristics would mirror his, which he accomplished by yet another clever maneuver. He led his followers, other rebellious angels, to marry into mankind, producing a species, half angel, half man, and in Satan's mind, superior to the original race. Since then, Throughout the ages, mankind, influenced by the enemy, has altered almost everything existing on Earth, changing it from its original kind. Plants, fowl, animals, even many of the creepy crawly things have been modified. Sadly, all that has been changed from the original is short of perfection, inferior, including us. Everywhere we look, we see death, sickness, pain, and decay, a far cry from what God intended. All creation has been abused through habitual sin, including the earth itself. Out of order and harmony with the rest of the universe, surrounded by chaos and lawlessness, the future of man looks dim. The lust for money, sex, and power is the driving force behind this world, and deceit, false doctrine, hypocrisy, pure tyranny exists under man's rule, with Satan at the helm. What mayhem we have caused by our rebellion! This is all about to change, however, and those changes are found in God's feasts. Many of those taught the rapture theory are seemingly complacent and not really concerned with these end-time events. They think they will be taken out of here, not understanding they too have a part in God's overall plan for man's restoration. I am sorry they were taught this lie. I pray they pay close attention to the truth now, as they are not going anywhere. We are instead being fed end-time knowledge, being prepared and trained for spiritual war, to stand as Christ's body for the kingdom of God. And guess what? Direction on how to do this is revealed in God's feasts. That is why God said we are to celebrate them to all generations. Each age of the church has had an obligation to fulfill a part of God's plan for man's restoration, and now it is our turn to walk out the end. It is by invitation, His set time, that we come to the feasts, where we will be introduced to His plan, given direction, and find our personal part in it. Leviticus, the third chapter, gives us a list of God's feasts. Notice, Christmas, Easter, Halloween, etc. are not listed there. That is because they are not God's feasts. Guess who they belong to? The first feast Satan invited man to was in the garden, to eat from the tree of good and evil, a counterfeit of God's feast. It, too, contained knowledge to make them wise. God said, if we even touched that tree, let alone tasted of it, we would surely die. Some feast. Well, they accepted His invitation. Genesis chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, shows us the whole scenario. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. He lied. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Their spirit went dormant, and when the life force went out of their bodies, they, like a battery that lost its charge, died. On top of that, to hide what the original sin really was, which was eating the wrong knowledge, Satan taught the church they just ate an apple. How absurd is that? How could an apple make you wise, give you wisdom, or kill you? God created apples to be eaten, and besides, they were given permission to eat from all the fruit trees. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also, different from the other trees, in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This tree was not like the natural tree out of the ground either. Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. So it was a different kind of tree they were not to taste or touch. Again, notice the word also in verse 9, meaning these trees were different from the others. Like much of the Bible, these trees were symbolic of something else. God said, Knock, and it shall be opened to you. Seek, and you shall find. God wants us to recognize we need His knowledge and be ready and willing to seek it. Pan for it like gold. Let us therefore read from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3, to better understand these trees. Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. This was fulfilled in the ministry of Christ and is continued in us today. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, speaking of people, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they, those that receive this ministry, may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. The two trees in the garden were Christ and Satan. One would bring eternal life, the other death. Adam and Eve chose to feed on Satan's lies, turning away from the pure mind of Christ, away from God's knowledge, and feasted on the knowledge of Satan, warped by pride and distorted by his evil intentions. Unfortunately, leadership in the world's churches are deciphering the things of God through that same knowledge and preaching messages gleaned from that database. The light of God has therefore grown dim in them. They are so far behind in God's plan. A side note, have you ever noticed people operating in evil look dark? That is because God's knowledge, His wisdom, the Word, brings light into us to pass on into the world to give hope to those that look to that light. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. In the beginning was the Word, the audible and physical knowledge of God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. God spoke, and things came into being through the Word. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him, the Word of God, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Without this light, our actions are based on Satan's knowledge, which is not only foolishness to God, but brings defeat to man, and sadly, eventual death and darkness. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He catches the wise in their own craftiness. Even if they do things behind closed doors and in the dark, God sees. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Word. So Satan wants us to be taught things that will cause us to sin, grieve God's Spirit, and even blasphemy God. How ironic! Mankind turned their back on the Word in the garden, yet because He loves us, He came to save us anyways. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Satan altered man to his image to steal him from God and bring death. I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Be born over again and retaught, restored, and live eternally. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I, Jesus, am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He is the tree of life. John chapter 15, verse 5. I, Jesus, am the vine. You, the born again, are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, the Word, the knowledge of God, you can do nothing. Doing things our way is why mankind has failed so wretchedly. Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6 explains, wisdom and knowledge, this is God's knowledge, will be the stability of your times, helps guide us in the end, and the strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure. Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 13 shows us Christ is the Word of God. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. I am the way, the truth, life. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. It goes on to say, He is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Returning to the parable of the prodigal son, I liken the world's religious systems to spiritual pig pens. Can you think of a more fitting name for places that claim to serve God's people fresh manna, when in reality they serve moldy bread, false doctrines, lies, food that allows, even encourages, lawlessness? For instance, the Word says not to commit adultery, avoid all sexual crime. Yet the leadership of much of the world's churches commit and even perpetrate these immoral acts themselves. And it happens over and over. Pedophiles are not marked and thrown out of the church. Their deeds are covered over. People are scarred for life, yet the sins continue. Lust and perversion are tolerated without interference or correction from leaders for the sake of money. One of the biggest problems is the church that once belonged to God, was His bride, has become a big business, profiting the world systems. God's sheep, His flock, His people are being fed food fit only for swine, rather than fed truth from God's feasts. Their shepherds keep them shallow, uninformed to cover themselves in their wool, their hard-earned money by asking for pledges and so-called financial gifts beyond the tithes and offerings, and many times beyond their means. Shame on the world's churches. Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 through 6, explains how God sees the world's religious systems. Then one of the seven angels, who had the seven bowls, came and talked with me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot, Satan's bride, who sits on many waters. She covers all the earth, with whom the kings of the earth, the heads of governments, committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. People are intoxicated by her splendor and apparent godliness." So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman, the church, sitting on a scarlet beast, the governments of man, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns, meaning they have perfect control and complete power. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Looks good on the outside, but evil on the inside. Having in her hand a golden cup, full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. This cup is offered freely to the world. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. All secret societies, mystery religions, etc. are included. I saw the woman, drunk with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Look at the bloodshed over the ages in the name of religion. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. She appears so holy, but is the epitome of evil. You know, it is taught there will be a great falling away. Like the people will be so evil in the end that they will not even attend church. But I think it is the total opposite. The church is so evil, the people are leaving. They are running from its disillusioned by the hypocrisy and immorality, angry, not at God, but disappointed by man. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, speaks of this. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come, the Lord's day, unless the fallen away comes first. We must see the wrong, get out of Babylon, and cry out to God to end it. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. They are leaving in answer to Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, out of the religious systems of the world, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. Come away quickly, Don't get caught up in her. You see, there will be a final feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and Scripture tells us his wife has made herself ready. Revelation chapter 19, verses 7 and 8. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. She has experienced all 10 feasts, and to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Only through God's end-time knowledge can this happen. Come away from the old harlot and become a part of the church triumphant, the glorious church. Revelation chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. She has sinned beyond repair, and has become a dwelling place of demons, unclean spirits of lust, perversion, competition, greed, addiction, control, etc. A prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. She is not fit in any way to offer a sacrifice of prayer or praise to a holy God. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. Do not celebrate or experience any of her feasts, or join with people that condone her ways, ones that forgive her moral wrongs and allow her to continue in her perverted wickedness. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 warns, But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral or covetous or an idolater or a reviler or a drunkard or an extortioner, not even to eat with such a person. Also, remember in the Scripture, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, where it prophesied of the great falling away. It also said, The day will not come until the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Let us read again from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this time verses 8 through 10 and verse 12. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth, truth, and destroy with the brightness of his coming, knowledge, the word. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish. They didn't come out because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved, remained in Babylon because they didn't mind the false doctrines or lack of morals, didn't develop a taste for God's knowledge, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Those that are a part of Babylon and in opposition to the Lord become his adversaries, and many times without knowing, a part of Satan's body, becoming the Antichrist. He has been revealed. It is the body of people that remain in the world's religions, forming a body that is not walking in truth, nor obedient to the commandments of God. the lawless. The counterfeit of the body of Christ is the body of Satan, Antichrist. I know the world's church teaches there is one man coming as Antichrist, but John tells it like it is. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come. All those that remain in the world's churches, by which we know that it is the last hour. Satan himself operates through this body to come against the Lord, as seen at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9, reprinted for your convenience. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So where should you go, or who do you turn to? Acts chapter 15, verses 16 through 18. After this, I will return, Jesus, and will rebuild the tabernacle of David, his body, which has fallen down. The early holy church has disintegrated into denominations, no longer united, weakened by sin. It has been confiscated by the enemy. I will rebuild its ruins to the church triumphant, the church glorious, and I will set it up, a new body for Christ. A new house will be built from the new species of man, so that the rest of mankind may seek the Lord. Even all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who does all these things, known to God from eternity, are all his works. This was a plan of God before Adam and Eve even sinned. In the house of David, the Father's house, the home of his beloved, there is manna, fresh from the scrolls in heaven opened, sent by the Lamb and revealed at his feast to feed his people. Information, direction for this end time, is released to prepare his wife. There are 10 feasts experience that will make her complete. 7 holy convocations to make her one with God. You see, this residence is a spiritual house made of living stones, ones that are the direct opposite of and separated from Babylon. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 speaks of these stones. You also, as living stones, are being built up, a spiritual house, the house of David, a holy priesthood, leaders chosen by God, not hired by man, church that is no part of the world or its systems, overcomers, to offer up spiritual sacrifices, prayer and praise acceptable to God, not an abomination, through Jesus Christ, the direct opposite of Babylon. So in closing, as Satan in the beginning invited Eve to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Jesus, in the end, promises to invite all that overcome to drink from the living waters of truth and eat from the tree of life. Revelation chapter 2, verse 7. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Full circle back to the garden. Revelation chapter 21, verses 6 through 8. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. These will still be found in Babylon, the body of Satan, Antichrist. Let us read one last closing scripture. Revelation chapter 21, verses 3-5. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, the tabernacle of David, and he will dwell with them. It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful.